And it's Happy Birthday to America. Boy, oh boy, I can't tell you how exciting this day has been all my life. I've enjoyed it, Carl. I know you have too.
I have. I get into it.
Yeah, you do.
I really do.
The other day, I had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman by the name of Terry Breitenstein. He lives in Woodstock, New York. Not where the festival was, but if you remember, that was all changed and different back in the in those days. But anyway, he has been active in Veterans Affairs for 30 years and was the local liaison. And I asked him what he thought about America today on a birthday, on its birthday. And he had these thoughts. So here's that tape recording. Terry Breitenstein, thank you for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thanks for having me.
Today's America's birthday. Any thoughts on what America is today?
Boy, I can tell you, it's obviously I can't look back to the beginning. It's all, I guess, how well we paid attention in our history classes in school. But wouldn't it be wonderful if people looked at the 4th of July not only as a birthday, but as a lesson, to look at where we came from and to where we are now. And I think one of the disheartening things is what we take so much for granted. I'm not a worldly traveler. I haven't been all over the world, but I have been in some places. And I've seen third world countries, and I've seen how they've lived. I've seen the strife through what we know as all these, you know, from Vietnam and to Iraq and the Persian Gulf and this torn apart world that we're living in. And people are people. When the first pilgrims came over here, for whatever reasons, we can get into that. We still see the religious strife around the world, which it almost points to a lot of our problems. But people are people. They came over here as people. They started this country through all the hardships, or pioneers, or whatever you might want to call them, but they were people. And today, we've come so far. Here we are in the 2000s, and the technology is unimaginable, and people on the moon, and we have pioneer challenges in our own right, but it's still people. And I guess that's the hardest thing for me to is when you see all this strife and you look back, I'm going to kind of segue, but you look back and saw what they went through for the good of themselves and developing a country. And I'm wondering if we're appreciating that and looking at, you know, everybody has an issue. Everybody has a platform. They have their soapbox they're standing on. And I think one of the things I would like to see on the birthday is for everybody to step aside, lay everything, bury it down on the ground, and stand up and say, wow, we've got quite a history here, don't we?
Take yourself back to your childhood growing up in the mountains of New York State. And tell me what you remember about 4th of July celebrations.
Oh, my God. 4th of July celebrations, of course, were the fireworks and the firecrackers and the riding your small bicycle in the parade with the baseball cards in the spokes making the noise. But back then, Woodstock was, it's always been a little unique, eclectic town, and but it was a small town. And it was a very local town back then. We weren't a bedroom community. We didn't have to live with the fame of the festivals. It was a small town, and everybody knew everybody. And my behavior just didn't stop when I left the yard at home. It behaved in town because there were all sorts of eyes on you. Everybody, it was a big family. And the thing that was great about it, doctors, lawyers, masons, roofers, carpenters, the whole gamut. I mean, even socially they interacted. And so when the 4th of July came around, it was not just a celebration for the country, but it was an excuse or a reason rather, for the local communities to celebrate. And they came together. 4th of July, Memorial Day, certain town anniversaries. But 4th of July was always, like I said, but you know, it was kind of magnified with the fireworks, and there seemed to be more of a spirit then. And again, I take it back. I look at my life, and the most important things that have happened to me, good or bad, but mostly, let's remember the good, is because of my association with so many different types of people. And that's an education. And I think the tolerance level back then was greater. There seems to be more of a division now in not only religious, but social stratus, and be what it may, economic, as we say, you know, the top 1% own 50%. That didn't seem to come in play then. And so that was fun. And this was a great little town to grow up in. It was a local town. It was the tourist attraction from Memorial Day to Labor Day. But we always had the town. We shared it, but there was that bond. There was a local family. So when you had days like the 4th of July, you celebrated together. And it just gave you a good feeling as to where you were and who you were with in this community. So it was exciting.
We're glad that you are with us today on this weekend. And thank you very much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks again, Ron.
You know, in listening to Terry, the words keep coming out, and they keep getting repeated, that the times have changed. And they've changed in a way. But, you know, it's not unusual because of this country. People are going to take it for granted, Roland, only because we have so many wonderful things. For those of us who've lived abroad, I can tell you, trying to go out and get a cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning is a challenge. you feel the restrictions. And almost every, and this is including Europe and London and the cities I've lived in. Here in America, there seems to be that, let's just go do that. And not worry about traveling to the next state or the next county. And we do take that for granted because it's just
always
here.
Well, we do. But you say times have changed. But you know, I remember as a little kid, my grandmother saying, "My land, how times have changed." I mean, and my grandmother was, I think, born in 1880. And she was talking to me when in the late 40s and early 50s. You know, she'd been through quite a bit, and times had changed for her. But, you know, just the only constant in our lives is change.
Yes, but we always marvel at it, you see. We always marvel at change. It comes, and you're absolutely correct, but we always marvel at it. The times have changed. Well, they always change.
The next question is, would you want to go back to any other time in your life at this moment?
No.
And neither would I.
No.
And full disclosure for the folks out there listening, I mean, I'm in my 70s.
Yes.
You're not.
No, but I'm close.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there, but I would not because we can't. And there's the practical side of me popping up. But in this country today, and I've traveled, as you know, extensively and lived around the world, there's nothing like America. There just isn't. There's something extraordinarily unique about this country. You don't have to think about it, and that's the difference.
That's true. I can remember many times coming back from various assignments as a reporter
from
around the world, and especially coming from countries that didn't have as much as we have or didn't have the freedom. And it's really a great sense of peace that you get when you come into this country after being away for a while, and you say, whew. Boy, am I glad I'm home.
I was sitting next to a reporter, Don Keldman, for KTLA. And when we landed in Los Angeles, I was coming in from the Far East. And he said, and almost in a passionate way, gee, it's damn nice to be home.
Mm-hmm.
Damn nice to be home. And it is. And you feel that. I don't know how other people feel in the rest of the world about going home to their countries. But in this place and time, it's automatic. there's nothing dramatic about it. You fly in, you get in your car, you go home, and you watch a television show or have dinner with the wife. And it just moves. There's a flow to it. And that's what we're celebrating here on the 4th of July. What? We celebrate that.
Just coming home, let's say you were in Canada for a visit, and I've been there many times because my dad was born and raised in Canada. And the thing that I've always noticed is if the customs officer gives you a smile, isn't that nice? That's the way America ought to be, is a smile.
I consider that a plus.
Oh, yes, indeed it is.
As we move on, Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. You're listening to America Weekend, heard here on the Envision Radio Network. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Biker Minute. Couple late 30-year-olds on the re-entry into biking.
Out on our own, doing our thing with our friends, and everybody's got their bikes. Adult fun.
Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
When horror is done well, it gets in your blood, and It Follows is one of the creepiest movies of the year. Bummin!
6-second reviews are brought to you by summer's most unapologetic new comedy, Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters July 17th.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute, back into motorcycling.
Both my husband and I did it when we were younger, and we decided it was time for us to start doing something fun, too, instead of just dedicating everything to the kids. So now here we are, out on our own, doing our thing with our friends, and everybody's got their bikes, and, you know, adult fun.
Interest in bikes didn't run through the bloodline.
She's not getting on a bike with us, that's for sure. She's different than us. It's kind of funny. We were always out having fun and doing all crazy stuff, and she's very studious. She likes to hit the books and make sure she's doing the right thing.
American Biker Minute.
Guess we did something right.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you have a favorite color? Well, what is it? Now, keep it in mind, because your color preference says a lot about you. Here's the quasi-science of it.
Tangled up in blue.
If blue is your favorite color, well, that's the choice of intellectuals. If it's red, that's the color of gung-ho athletes. What about orange? Then you tend to be congenial, easy to get along with. Then there's purple. If that's your favorite color, you've been looking for love, hey, let me tell you, in all the wrong places.
Here in my deep purple dream.
And finally, if black is your favorite color, then you guard your emotions. What's the cheap psych trick? Hey, just a little pop psychology for the soul, but there's a lesson here. Don't get stuck in a one-color rut. Mix it up a bit, and hey, you may discover a whole new world. Got a question or a comment? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.